back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm once again joined by Nick and Randy, talking, of course, about the most relevant Apple news, even though the MacBook Pro dropped right after, or right before the last episode dropped.
What
How
was,
are you guys
what
doing?
What was that about?
Yeah, that was unexpected. Star Wars Day, of all days. Tim was like, now is the time.
Tim really had me going there, because I was all into the Star Wars Emperor Palpatine vibe, and then this MacBook Pro dropped, and I couldn't have Emperor Palpatine tweeting about the new MacBook Pro, so I just had to hold it all in. But luckily, I'm not super interested in it. But Randy, you were going to buy one, weren't you?
Same.
I was going to buy one.
This was influencing your decision a lot. We were waiting to see what the next MacBook Pro is going to be. So now that it's dropped, what are your thoughts? Is this it?
Oh, this is not it, guys. This is not it.
It was quite disappointing.
I'm hurt.
Even as someone not in the market, I was disappointed.
I feel really, personally attacked.
Wow. That was
Let me guess why.
Go ahead.
I think it's mainly because the 16-inch MacBook Pro has an amazing, great feature that we all appreciate. Refresh rates that can be changed in settings to below 60 hertz. Yeah! And they didn't bring that to the 13-inch MacBook Pro for some reason. Was that it?
Nail, hammer, on the head.
From the side.
From the side. So here's my fundamental issue that I have with the 13-inch.
The fun dementals.
No, there's nothing fun about
Thank
it.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Aunt Sweeney. So my issue with it is that they treated it like a beefed up MacBook Air. That's my complete takeaway, because what I today would decide what the MacBook, which used to be MacBook Air, now MacBook, or MacBook used to be MacBook, is now MacBook Air and MacBook Pro. One of the deciding factors, besides storage configuration and extra IOs, which would just be two more USB-Cs, is more dedicated hardware under the hood. GPU, another fan. If you want to even get another fan, you have to get the $1,800 model. You can't get the base model to get that other thing. And the speaker. I saw this video. Guy unscrews the back of the iPad. There's no subwoofer on the $1,300 MacBook Pro.
You mean MacBook?
MacBook.
Not iPad.
Oh, excuse me. I have an iPad on the brain. No, I have iPad on the brain.
I didn't know there was a speaker difference, though. This is the first I've heard.
Yeah, so I forget his name. Max something. He did a teardown between the two. He got his hands on both the base. He goes, what's the difference between the base model and the $1,800 besides the 8th gen? Intel, which is another thing, 8th gen and 10th gen. He's like, besides that, what's the difference? They took off the backs of the MacBook. Got it right this time. And not only is there a second fan that's attached to it, it has the batteries are stacked on the $1,800 one, because it made room for the subwoofers that are on the side, because there is more clarity in the speaker. So that's another problem. Speakers, so sound output from just straight from the source. And I'm going based off of base model. It's basically MacBook Air territory. One fan, right? No dedicated GPU. What? It's two USB-C. What? No, I don't. I'm so upset because what they did. I never once even mentioned about the let's make it a 14-inch. I never once brought it up to it because I that was not going to be a deciding factor for me, honestly. But since I'm upset, might as well bring it up now. they do it to they do everything to the 16-inch, and we don't get that for those guys. So yeah, that
you okay,
that,
Randy?
That was
you kind of turning a little purple here.
Oh my god!
You can get it.
I lost
it's in the
you
background.
Guys.
You got a fuchsia and a blue, and it's kind of just merging on your face. You're just turning purple.
Just let it out. It's fine.
No one listens to the show, so you're good. Just let it out.
I think the primary issue here that I'm starting to pick up
I'm
from
not
Randy
done
is
recording.
That there is an awkward, unspoken little mini 13-inch MacBook Pro that's separate from the actual 13-inch MacBook Pro.
Exactly.
That they put in the middle of everything. And that throws off, and I don't think it should be there personally. I think there needs to be more differentiation between 13-inch MacBook Pro and 13-inch MacBook Air. And I don't think they need that little mid-step of, well, this one doesn't need 10th gen because that's too expensive. So we're going to put in, you know, what like Randy said, the less fan, worse speakers. We're just going to dumb down that one so that the MacBook Pro technically still has, whatever, a $1,300 entry price. Whereas I think Apple needs to suck it up, accept that they're the company that asks for $700 for wheels that don't lock,
ouch,
and just make the MacBook Pro start at $1,500. It'll be a higher entry point than before, but the performance will be there, the display will be there, the extra I.O. will be there, and I think deciding between MacBook Air and MacBook Pro will be so much easier because you'll just...
Do you have a lot of money or
no? One with two Thunderbolt 3? Yeah. Are you just looking for cheap Mac? Oh, man. Randy's dying on us.
Yeah, sorry.
Are you looking for cheap Mac that, you know...
Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
That's bad.
I'm so sorry. I'm just so choked up, Randy, and emotional.
Randy has some thermal issues going on internally.
So I'm going to tell you right now that at this point, because I accept the fact that I've lost the compact battle, that I'm just going to wait until we get the refresh 16-inch, and I'm just going to buy a 16-inch. I'll get the latest Intel processor. I will get updated, you know, 2020 specs, whatever those are. I'm done. I'm fed up. I'm hurt. I feel personally attacked. Apple.
Hold on, Randy. Stop the conversation. You're saying you're going to wait until the end of this year, whenever the next 2020 16-inch MacBook Pro comes out? Or are you going to get the 2019 16-inch MacBook Pro?
No, I'm not going to get the 2019. Because
so you're going to keep using your 2015 iMac for another 6 to 10 months?
Hey, I made it this long. Well, so here's my
thought. I don't know if it'll be 10.
So
there's not 10 months left in 2020.
This is true.
Yeah, I guess we are in May already. Oh, this is true. My gosh.
Yeah, I feel like
about 6.
There is about 6.
There's
right.
Approximately 6. It's 9.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. So I won't buy a new MacBook Pro 26-inch. I've been going back to the certified refurbished, Drew's favorite word, and I will wait for the right one to come on sale if it's there, and I would buy it then, because even then that would be an upgrade from the 2015 iMac. But if it doesn't show up and I'm not holding my breath for it to show up, I will wait however long it takes until I get the next next actual true. I don't count this as a real like upgrade. I count this as new keyboard update for MacBook Pro 13.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
This is we got to kill off the butterfly keyboard before our next event. That's the priority.
and give it a silent death. And so,
yep. Now they never have to bring it up again.
Ever.
Ever.
Mm-mm. Until Phil Schiller gets up there and says, "A lot of people didn't like our butterfly keyboard, but our engineers know how to do it." So we're announcing today, Courage. The Butterfly Keyboard Courage Edition.
Yeah.
Fifth generation Butterfly Keyboard. Gosh, we got it right this time. We'll slowly be adopting it to all the MacBooks. Louder, thinner louder, than ever before.
Louder, thinner, and less reliable.
Yeah. These ones will break if you breathe on them wrong.
There you go. But, that's a winning product there.
I think the reason most people were disappointed was just because 16-inch MacBook Pro got way more attention than this did.
Yeah.
I don't think it was necessarily because of the leaks. I saw a lot of people saying, well, this is what happens when you get obsessed over leaks and rumors. And I was like, we just thought they were going to do what they did to the 16-inch to the smaller config, and they didn't do that. We were hoping. That was like Marquez's tagline when he reviewed the 16-inch MacBook Pro. It was, now do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just do this on the smaller form factor, and they didn't. So that's why there's disappointment in the air. But I saw some people theorizing, you know, we got a 15-inch MacBook Pro refresh in May of 2019, but then in October we got the 16-inch MacBook Pro. So now I'm hearing people think maybe a 14-inch MacBook Pro is coming in October, and it'll be the 16-inch style refresh. Sounds like wishful thinking to me. I'm not going to count on it. I think it's more likely Apple just doesn't care, and maybe it's something to do with the form factor, because in Apple's defense, it is a whole lot smaller than the 16-inch MacBook.
I'm looking at mine right now.
It is so much
lighter. I love that thing. Like, the 13-inch is my favorite. Like, the 16-inch is great because it has great screen size, and if that's what you're worried about, awesome. I used to have a 15.5-inch. I've had other large devices. I have a huge iPad. But something about having a full macOS and Windows computer that is literally the same size and weight as my iPad Pro with Magic Keyboard is just very dense. It feels very compact. And yes, I don't have the latest one with all the cool keyboards and stuff, but I have no reason to upgrade. Cool. Like, I'm looking at these. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the current lineup, and like, I am really proud of my Mac. It is great. I have almost no complaints about it. I have a few, but almost none.
I was sitting on this. I don't remember if we said it on air or if we talked offline, but you know, Drew was kind of picking my brain a while back in regards to certain configurations and where 16-inch would be more beneficial than the 13-inch. One thing that I kind of ended up dismissing altogether, besides screen size, would also truly be the keyboard as well, because my purpose of the MacBook would be 80% of its life closed and docked, and mm-hmm. I would use it to execute my same roles and responsibilities that I use right now on the iMac, and I would just have a higher screen, new display, because I don't think we can use iMac for it. But anyway, so I don't really care about the opening up. It'd be a nice convenience on those evenings I want to go downstairs and sit with my wife and do some other things that require Mac OS that I couldn't do on the iPad. Then that's when it'd mm-hmm. come in. I don't see a scenario where I would take the MacBook Pro with me, to the mountains on vacation like I did. Maybe on traveling, the only logical or the feasible, realistic one would be is like if we did another trip to come see you, Drew, then I would be like, all right, I might bring it because who knows what might happen. So we might, you know, and it's become tradition that we like to take photos of you know, stacked stuff. So,
just for that alone.
Just for that alone, I might have to bring
it. Instagram post.
Do it for the gram.
That makes sense.
Yeah, but outside of that, I don't see a scenario where I would need it. So docking it and having it closed, I would probably just, you know, pair this keyboard and do all that.
What I'm planning on doing whenever I get my MacBook Pro, which at this point, you know, it's not a time-sensitive thing. The more I thought about it, like, I want the next gen because I've had my iMac for almost 3 years now.
iMac Pro.
iMac Pro, still running great. And it's not like I'm in a hurry to replace it.
Yeah.
So I might end up waiting to see if whenever the next 16-inch MacBook Pro comes out with the 5.3 gigahertz at Turbo Boost and Wi-Fi 6 support and stuff like that, because I want to have this thing for the long haul.
Wi-Fi 6? Oh, my goodness. You're right.
Yeah, the current 16-inch MacBook Pro or 13-inch MacBook Pro still don't have Wi-Fi 6.
Oh, so I think,
what's the difference? What's the difference?
He's right.
Faster.
Okay. Future-proof.
It's like the difference between Bluetooth 4 and Bluetooth 5. It's like, will you notice much of a difference? No, but it's like a longevity thing.
Yes.
You know? Like, you want it to be capable so that your next router, once Starlink launches and everything, you know, and you have faster speeds, and once you have higher gigahertz routers in the future, you will be capable of supporting those speeds.
For sure.
You know, it's right now, wouldn't make that much of a difference, but years from now, it's like 5G, but it's more logical, essentially. It's more dependent on what you buy in your own house, not so much on where the carrier decides to set up towers and stuff. So,
interesting.
I wouldn't be against waiting till the 2020 refresh gets certified refurbished or on sale, just because I'm such a big certified refurbished fan. And once I do get it, I plan on basically keeping the two external monitors I have on my desk now. I would dock it to that, leave it closed, and then connect a Magic Keyboard and Magic Mouse so that a lot of the editing wouldn't change. I would have the same setup I have right now. I would just have the additional option of disconnecting it and taking it when I need to. Plus, I'll be selling the Mac Mini once I get that, because I don't need that many Macs at the same time. And I already have the iPad Pro, so that's kind of my laptop on the couch type device.
Right.
And then on trips and stuff, because we want to take vacations eventually, it'd be nice to have something that I can still edit tech vids on if we take longer trips and stuff like that. So that's it's
or those
it's
travel
so
vlogs
just a,
that you do.
Yeah, travel vlogs, of course. Whenever the next one is, it's not going to be soon, but
definitely
just
not.
Being able to MacBook at this point is more appealing just from a performance per dollar basis.
For sure.
Because
for sure
the iMacs are still kind of dated, and yeah. I think they're about to be refreshed soon. Probably refreshed by the time this podcast goes up.
Hey, knowing our luck,
how accurate it'll be. So today, guys, let's talk about the new iMac refresh. What I think they should do with the iMacs is completely ditch the hard drives and Fusion drives, which they're still shipping. Ditch the 1080p
heinous
model, which I don't know why they're still selling that. But they're also just so dated looking. Like,
yeah.
I would not want to get another Mac that just looks like the iMac Pro but has slightly better performance now. So if I'm getting better performance, I want to also have a new form factor.
I don't believe this new form factor that they've been floating around is going to be bezel-less except for the chin. It doesn't seem accurate. I think about, like, okay, why would you put the chin there? Where the speakers are right now, where it shoots the air out, because that's where everything just kind of it pushes down and out.
Look at cinema display. One size bezel, still has speakers.
Yep.
Still has a camera, and that's 10 years old.
You know, honestly, all I want is a 2020 cinema display. That's it. Because that thing was that thing is so, like, it went up to 1440 resolution.
I think so.
I use it every day.
That thing's 10 years old.
Dang. It's 10 years old and it's 1440p. And it's,
I love
it's it. It's not a laminated display, but it looks great, and I use it with my Mac Mini, and it's
so
it's
imagine
honestly
what you do a
modern
decade later. Oh, that, there's
you
your
do the
AK
Pro display.
That, oh my god,
XDR.
So
that's what you do.
Question for
no
you, Drew.
No,
if at whatever point the 2020 16-inch MacBook Pro comes out, and there's also a 2020 iMac Pro, would you consider sticking with the desktop to get more specs out of the same dollar? Or are you sold on that MacBook portability?
Here's my answer. Thank you for asking, Nick.
Of course. This was not scripted, folks.
The main,
let me check
the
that
main
one
reason,
off our list, Drew.
Main reason, I'm guessing probably not, is two possibilities. Neither are good. There's two ways that can go with the iMac Pro, and I don't like either of them, just uh-huh seeing how Apple is behaving right now. For one, I think it was a stopgap. It was a placeholder until the Mac Pro launched. So they launched it in 2017 because they were like, hey, pros, you need power. Here's lots of power. But wait for the Mac Pro because that's the real pro thing that all the pros should get. And now, given the Mac Pro is launched, Mac Pro launched almost 6 months ago now. It's getting up there. And they still haven't done anything with the iMac Pro since it launched in 2017. All they've done was add like an extra GPU option and 256 gigs of RAM. That's pretty much it. In fact, I'm wondering now if they even let you get it with 8 terabytes like you can on the MacBook. I'm guessing they probably haven't even added that option. So that my point is they won't refresh the iMac Pro. That's a very reasonable possibility at this point, in my opinion. There's still no 8 terabyte option. Ridiculous.
Boo. Boo.
You can get it on a MacBook, but not on the iMac Pro at $5,000. Second option is they are planning a refresh for the iMac Pro. Let's say Ming-Chi Kuo is right, and it's going to be a mini LED. It's going to be kind of like Pro Display XDR, but with a computer built in. In which case, it will more than likely start at $10,000 for the cheapest possible config.
Apple.
In which case, no.
Tim.
Don't care.
No. Just no.
I don't want, like I said before, I don't have any performance issues with the iMac Pro. I'm just looking for new form factor, new display, updated design with updated specs. Because it's new. What's the good point?
We've been floating the idea of getting a MacBook Pro because there's nothing, like, iMac is looking dated. It's feeling dated. They're not really doing much with it. And cost performance for a cost value, it's
mm-hmm
it's more, I don't know, you get you pretend we get a brand new, at WWDC, hey, brand new form factor iMac, and say we even get the iMac Pro, and say it's even that expensive price that you said, I don't know if outside of heavy, heavy production usage, whether studio
Enterprise.
I don't know if it's now the best bang for your buck, seeing the trend that you're saying, which I agree, how they've been treating just Mac as a whole and iMac even more so. I don't think it's the best bang for your buck when you can have more versatility with MacBook Pro, and it seems to be getting most of the attention when it comes to Mac OS. Mac Mini is laughable about what they did this year. 13-inch MacBook Pro, you know, no. So MacBook Air, okay, they're doing what they can to make that be the new MacBook and make it have competitive
entry-level price.
That's your new Mac Mini. That's your new entry everything. Where MacBook Pro 16 inches, here's your workhorse. Here's your everything to it. Then you have iMac and Mac Mini and MacBook or iMac Pro, Mac Pro. And then you have all these like weird niches, but it's only for, in my opinion, very specific use cases. And I don't think a redesign would be enough to sway me now at this point, unless they say, here's a brand new iMac, 27-inch, and with the specs that you want to have. For me, if it met my 2015 conversion, it's now $300 to $500 cheaper just because tech got cheaper. That's the only way I could be like, oh, maybe I'll consider that.
I wish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But otherwise,
if they didn't change, if they didn't change the display itself and just shrunk the bezels down, no chin, but it's the bezels as thin as an iPad Pro or something like that.
Right.
And it's not mini LED. It's not extreme dynamic range. It's just like, this is better looking, but the price is reasonable, which I don't see them doing.
Right.
But if they did, that would probably sway me back to the desktop because it was just reasonably priced and looked good. I just don't think they're going to do that. Okay. Looking how I was expecting the standalone monitor that was rumored for years to be like $1,500 to $2,000 and just look futuristic.
Oh, I'm comes sorry, out, dude, you're thinking about the stand for said monitor plus the wheels.
Exactly. So now they launch a $5,000 Pro display without even a way to mount it. That's when I'm like, okay, you don't care about the desktop market anymore. Just don't give up. But I have more thoughts on this. We'll come back to it after this ad break. See you in a sec.
Oh, hello there. Sorry, I didn't see you there. I was just working on my latest project. It's a small simulation of the entire world. And so far, it's going pretty well. I'm really thankful that you took the red pill, because if you didn't, I wouldn't be able to talk to you right now. This is the real world. What you were just watching was only a simulation. Now, Morpheus told me that I should take this time to tell you about a brand new podcast called The Waveform Podcast by Marcus Brownlee. But unfortunately, I believe that that podcast is a little bit too mainstream for this show. So we're going to go with something a little bit more intriguing. It's called Hacked, the coolest podcast that I have in my subscription library that I listen to very amazingly. It's a fantastic podcast that talks all about how technology that has been moving towards the mainstream and out of the hacking realms affects your daily life. If you've ever been curious how internet ads play a role in how malicious advertising works, and something that's called malvertising by the In Club, you should definitely listen to Jordan and Scott's podcast. It's the latest episode on Hacked. It's linked in the description below. I really hope you appreciate, enjoy it. If you have, you haven't listened to it, you have to. It's stupid if you don't. Now, I'm going to send you back to the Matrix right now. Thank you.
All right, everyone. Welcome back. On that note, I think the most depressing thing is that the iMac is about to be refreshed, and it's going to be just a spec boost. It's going to be just like the Mac Mini. I think they're just going to update the internal drives, and the CPUs will basically be the same.
Yeah. It'll look nice, though. They'll have a nice intro video, like with the Mac Mini. When it started out as that UFO thing, and it came down and like landed on the desk, they're going to have a cool intro video.
That was amazing.
That will make me happy.
But this will be a site refresh, though. They won't have a video.
No!
It'll just have some new pictures that we didn't have before to make it look modern.
The last
pretty freaking powerful.
The last keynote we had was iPhone. That's crazy.
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
There's been nothing.
And now June 22nd. It's too long.
I know.
I don't want to wait this long. That's too much.
But at least we got some good merch out of it. I mean, We'll have a picture of the new merch we got going on, but the Talosiv gang with those Memojis. How did they do those Memojis? They look so cool. The little intro.
I tried to make it myself. Oh, my didn't look good.
Looks beautiful.
Wouldn't count on it.
You.
It looked awful.
There's a lot of like. I'm just using the. It's like Google search, and Google is just the buzzword. There's a lot of Photoshopping that takes place to make it look good. I started playing around and like over, and like I was trying to mask out, and then I was trying to like adjust, like, oh, okay, exposure here, or maybe put a vignette. I was trying to it was not coming out good.
No, I couldn't get it to look right either.
I was playing around with it. Yeah.
If rumors end up being accurate, this should be a very packed event.
Yeah.
Oh, do you think you two and Bono will be on stage again? Woo!
I hope so. That was my favorite moment in all of Apple event history was when you two showed up. And they gave it away for free.
And everybody simultaneously, like, you two became the new Nickelback for, like, a good year.
Yeah. Right. We've got AirTags, which is basically confirmed. I don't know of another way to confirm an Apple product unannounced, but Apple themselves had AirTags written on the support page, and yeah, it's very much confirmed. AirPods Studio is what they're rumored to be called, so the over-ears that are rumored to be modular and have customizable pads and stuff like that. There might be a slight AirPods refresh before the event, but that's a side thing. Obviously, iPadOS with the Pro apps, Final Cut, Xcode, Logic, macOS ARM, perhaps watchOS 7, tvOS, new Apple TV rumored to have an A12X chip now, which I think is a horrible idea.
And
first of all, why not the A12Z?
Because
if you're making a new,
because they're saving Z for something else.
No, that'll be next year's iPad Pro. That'll be next year's Apple TV Siri remote. Will have an A12Z chip.
I don't know.
But they're not even selling anything with the A12X anymore. It's been A12Z on the iPad Pro now.
Yeah, but only us nerds know that. Like, nobody.
Why keep those manufacturing lines open?
And
like,
honestly, the A12Z chip in here is just as good as the A12X chip. I did a little export test between the 2018 iPad and the...
There's a what?
Well, the most serious heavy lifting thing I do with an iPad is exporting one of these video shows. And so I did a little test.
Video shows,
whatever, the video version of
the
these
CPU
shows.
The CPU is not different. The GPU
is. Well, I don't know what the GPU is used for because...
Gaming,
yeah, I do a ton of that because I did a test. And
what if they're selling...
2 minutes of each other.
The app...
It's like,
but the Apple TV, the whole reason they're doing this is for gaming. No one's exporting videos on their Apple TV.
Oh, you silly girl, you. You have no idea.
Final Cut coming to Apple TV. Is it coming to iPadOS? No.
I wouldn't be surprised if they let you export, like it makes it a smart TV in the sense that, like, oh, export to YouTube directly from Apple TV. Oh, what I've always wanted.
Thanks.
They have to have something
magic
to talk
keyboard
about
case
the Apple TV.
Oh, you know what you also forgot to mention is that there's a alleged, you know, one more thing. And
No,
the glasses are not
coming. I don't
think
we'll see that.
No way.
Guys.
Not at this event.
AR will be the key focus this year, and what better way to introduce now these glasses, this headset, this whatever, when AR is, oh, we really focus on AR. He's always been saying it. This is it. This is the year of AR. It's shown in the iPad. It's coming to the iPhone. This is it. iOS 14, iPadOS 14, I think it's going to be very, very heavily influenced under AR because we won't know why. Oh, look what all these new things you could do with the new LiDAR sensor, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, Tim, but what does this all mean? But we have one more thing. And then they'll come out and explain why it's all wrapped around. And then guess what? You never have to leave your ecosystem even visually now because it's everywhere. You want to look at your bank account?
It'll just mask out all the Androids.
It'll
be like Black Mirror.
One more
pixelate out other people's
phone. That would be awesome, kind of, because, you know, the people with the Androids. you know, they're not the highest class of society, if you get my
unless you're watching this show on an Android phone, in which case
jokes,
congratulations.
People, it's all jokes.
No, I think personally they would, if the glasses are coming this year, which I have my doubts about, they would come out with the iPhone, not at Worldwide.
I would agree.
Conference.
Actually, I would say they might be teased at the with the iPhone, but they're not coming out till like spring 2021.
Really?
Very
can
earliest.
We all agree they would be unveiled about 6 to 7 months before they launch?
Absolutely. I would say unveiled at WWDC, start taking shipping, or end of 2020 is when I'll start shipping.
No.
Okay.
Way too soon.
But we don't agree on the unveiling, but we can agree that when the unveiling happens, the launch will be like half a year
later. Oh,
after
of course.
That.
That's what happened with Watch.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, for sure.
That's what happened with iPhone.
But Watch
that's
was not at
WWDC. Not with iPad, but yeah.
Yeah, but. Okay, yeah, sure. All right, whatever.
I personally
screw
think
you, Drew,
Worldwide
that's fine.
Is going to be... screw you too, Randy. I think Worldwide is going to be so busy with other stuff. I think they're going to be packed between... Can they really launch over-ears, AirTags, all the new software, and maybe even a refreshed iMac or something like that, and do the glasses all in one keynote?
Tim,
I don't think so.
Tim, because if you're going to be making me wait an extra 2 weeks, you better make a three-hour-long production.
I would say because we haven't had a keynote since iPhone that they just they have to cover ground. I think done are the days of we are so environmentally conscious with eco-friendly. Like we get it. I think they're done.
They
with
are
it.
Still conscious. They're just not going to talk about.
Yeah,
that,
yeah. The same way that they're not going to talk about whatever the droid name was that was disassembling iPhones.
Liam or Daisy.
Liam. Yeah. That's.
That's March 2016 territory. They don't go.
and we don't get musical guest performances anymore. Like I feel.
I hope not.
I hope not.
I miss Coldplay. That 2015 iPad Pro event with Coldplay.
Only thing I want to hear after hearing all about Final Cut and Xcode to the iPad is Billie Eilish. Thank you, Tim. I'm sure that's what they're prepping. Now, after all of our exciting Xcode development. Billie Eilish, ladies and gentlemen.
That's why we had to push this back. We were originally scheduled for June 2nd, but since Billie was busy, we had to push it back 3 weeks.
Or they'll bring
whenever
back...
Whenever they did those like musical numbers after the event took place, I always imagine those guys sitting behind stage and hearing about metal and hearing about Fortnite on the Mac and them just going,
what?
What are we doing here? Is this the audience?
My agent, said to be here. I thought this was the Grammys or something.
I thought those musicians waiting outside are like, what are they talking about?
What we have is another performance from The Weeknd with blinding lights. And then this time, like, okay, hey, this is here's how they pitch it to the artist. You want to go to the most viewed event next to the Grammys, and Apple Keynote is where you want to get seen. Okay.
By a bunch of sweaty nerds.
Paul McCartney, everybody.
That would most of the people in that audience probably listen to Glitch Mob and... Daft Punk, that's the majority of the Tron Legacy soundtrack. That's what you should really bring out on stage. Because that's most of what everybody in that audience listens to.
Or they listen to Taylor Swift, and she has that feud with Apple anyway, but they all, Taylor Swift it up. And I'm on Tidal, by the way. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It was like, what was it a couple years ago? Maybe it was last year, I can't remember. But wasn't there an event where we were talking about all this techie... architecture and software going on behind the scenes, and then like 3 minutes later they cut to emojis going AirPods. <You
remember? laughs> That was last year.
And I was like, are these the same audience?
No.
They can't decide if this is a developer event or a consumer event.
¿Por qué no dos? Is this the one in the same?
Yeah. I hope it's not that kind of event, but I keep forgetting it's going to be all online, so I'm confused now. Like the format of it's going to be weird.
I wouldn't be surprised. All I'm saying is that, especially because it's online, I wouldn't be surprised if it does just run longer because they don't have the energy to hype up a room. And it's just they've been practicing the keynote speech since April, I think
they got it down. It's probably all been recorded.
Oh,
that'll
my
just
goodness.
Be a recording.
Probably.
That's your premieres. One more thing. By the way, this was all done through AR because we already recorded it like last year.
This was all edited on iPad. It'll just end with that little filmed with edited with me.
Yeah.
Exactly. I can see them being able, because it's Who's to say it's not pre-recorded? Just because they do like a live premiere equivalent, like they have time
it's
to take
done
breaks
right now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sitting on.
Then
old
we
iPhone.
Hackers
we won't
need
have
to find
to
have this
embarrassing
and leak
moments
it.
During product demos when Craig gets up there and he
everything will be ironed out. No, nothing is live. Everything's just pre-recorded.
Yeah, I just yeah Do longer. I wouldn't be upset if it's longer, because I already acknowledged I'm going to take that day off from work anyway. So there's my morning. There's my everything.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that is my work day. But I have a question for Nick. This is a techie question. Nick, do you think iOS 14 will be available on devices like the original SE and the iPhone 6S, or do you think they're getting cut off?
So iOS 14 is supposed to bring more stability improvements on iOS.
We hope.
On the hope. iPhones. iPad OS is going to get some more features, but stability is going to be iOS 12 of iOS 13, which was the...
Okay.
So I think there's a fair argument to be made. It's a 70% chance that the old iPhone SE and old iPhone 6S will make it, because they have, what, 8-9 chips?
I agree. A9. So, I think all the A9 chip devices will make it, personally.
But I would say that's definitely the last year. Just like the 5S made it with iOS 13. Like, that's it.
Exactly. Yeah, this is definitely going to be the last one, but I think it'll be impressive for them to be able to say iOS 14 supports SE first generation and SE second generation. They go that far back. I don't think the new iPad OS will go on the Mini 4 or the Air 2, though. Those were like exceptions to the rule, because they had the A8 chip, but they also had the extra RAM.
Well,
so iPhone 6 did not get iOS 13, but the Mini 4 did.
The Mini 4 had an A8 chip, right?
Yeah.
So but it wasn't even an A9 chip.
The same
chip.
CPU.
Yeah.
Right. But it still got the latest iPad OS. Huh. It still does to this day. I think Air 2 and Mini 4 are dead, but everything that got, other than those two, everything that got iOS 13, I think
will get
iOS 14.
The Air 2, though, had an A8X chip in it with the more RAM. It had a tri-core. It was the first tri-core processor that Apple shipped.
It was still in the A8 series.
It was an A8X chip.
Okay, people, I'm bored.
You're right.
You guys are boring me. Quite frankly, while you look it up, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Okay?
Frankly, Randy, the transistors
quite
don't
frankly,
matter.
Quite frankly, people. Okay, folks, excuse me. Nick, excuse me. Quite frankly, folks, what's going to happen is there's going to be I'm going to get out of the voice now. There's going to be a separation between iOS and iPadOS, and I think we're going to see a bigger divide that happens. Where the bridging the gap between macOS and iPadOS, we're going to see the divide happen from iOS and iPadOS. I don't think we're going to see as many iPads hardware-wise, like older gen, be supported for new iPadOS 14, to whereas I do see 2016 model iPhones being supported for iOS 14, because it's the same architecture with 64. We had the drastic change when they went from 32 to 64. These have added longevity. The only reason I would say we would not see iPhone 6S and iPhone SE first gen and all that is because the performance would give you such a big hit on battery performance. Or because certain features, and I'm speculating here, and so there'll be exclusions to it. Certain features require having multiple cameras. And I can see if they're like, listen, it's not even worth getting iOS 14 for these phones because you're losing so many core features that require a second camera, where iPhone 7 Pro or 7 Plus would work, iPhone 8 Plus, and all the 10 series and up. All that would be boxed in. Here you go.
So what this about is the new SE?
The moderate. Not speculation, but exceptions. I can see the iPhone SE holding its ground for everything with the exception of anything that would require true AR capabilities off of multiple lenses. Like, hey, we'll give you some modified version the same way you get a modified portrait version for photos, but it's not it wouldn't be the same. You won't get the true experience. And that's the only reason why I wouldn't see it being supported. iPhones, I see being supported, but I don't think iPads. I think they're going to start I think they're going to try to clean up support on the iPads a lot sooner. I feel like.
Think Think about the budget iPad, though. Because that's, I mean, it wasn't that long ago. It was still rocking A9.
But I'm of the opinion the budget iPad is a thing of the past. I think it served.
It's the best selling.
It is the best seller. It is the best seller, and it has its place for like consumer needs. But how they're handling these iPads now, they can fit those needs just as easily and have it unified across the lineup, easier support. I feel like it's not going to happen in one. Like that, snap of a finger, Thanos. Mm-hmm. I think what's going to happen is just they're done. The 9.7 inch served its purpose for its time. If it was my call, let's start phasing it out. Let's get everything modern, up to date, right now, highest specs, and let's have those be the ones that have the future proof longevity for the next 4 to 5 years. I don't want it to be a placeholder anymore like some of these other. I feel like the same way the iMac Pro was, the same way certain iPhones, I feel like they're past their prime and just cut them out. If it was up to me, honestly, start with iPhone 10, or in this case 10R, kill the rest. Kill everything back. There, don't have any.
Wow.
If it was my call, let's cut the fat off this steak, baby.
Well, I'm glad you're not in charge.
Yeah, me too.
I'm over dramatizing the situation, but my point is
it would not impact me if they did that. But
it wouldn't impact us. It would impact a lot of people. I'm just saying that's my push. Obviously, meaning there would be some compromise in between all that. But that's my intent. I want to bring it back to the sense of Steve Jobs of like less is more. Let's hyper focus on this product line, the 2-1 ratio iPhones, the iPad Pro design. Let's focus on these and find a way to make these not only efficient but even more affordable and bring the cost down even more. And let the past die. Get rid of the 9.7 inch iPad. Get rid of the 16:9 aspect ratio iPhones.
That is technically gone, to be fair.
But I mean, you know, support. No more iOS updates. Just security.
I just mean it would look pretty bad if they discontinued the 2017 budget iPad because that has the A9 chip and it's only 3 years old.
Ooh.
And Apple kind of pioneers themselves on their software support and the longevity. And if they start canceling that out, I think it can hurt resale value. It can hurt. I don't think I know what you're saying, but I don't think they were going to do that.
Let
is my point.
Die.
So we hear what you're saying, Randy. But
iOS 14
you're wrong.
Will go back.
Rag.
But you brought up an interesting point that's made me think a lot that I wanted to bounce some ideas off of, because there's a rumor going around right now that I heard that the Final Cut, Xcode, and Logic Pro apps that they'll announce will only be on iPad Pros. And they will not be available on things like the Air or the Mini or the budget iPad, which is kind of a first. They've never done that before. They've never really introduced iPad apps that really require that high.
What CPU does
a
the
CPU
Air have?
Or GPU? A12, but not an A12X.
They're going to bring That's it. They're going to bring it to all rumor. The A12 devices. There's no way they're going to.
Okay, thanks, Nick. Thanks for filling us in.
Yeah. I watched the keynote already. Tim Cook, my personal friend, sent me a link to the pre-recorded.
Hi, my name's Nick. And
let's say they don't, though. Let's say it's a pro feature because it's a pro app. You need the iPad
to
Pro
make you
to
upgrade. Yeah.
Yeah. This is what I think would make the most amount of sense if they end up doing the iPad Air 4 the way I think they're going to do it, which is a refreshed version of the 2018 iPad Pro, just without ProMotion, without the stereo speakers, without the great cameras, just a basic camera, but it would still have USB-C, still have Apple Pencil 2 support. It would even still work with a Magic Keyboard case. It would look just like the 2018 iPad Pro, just dumbed down, and maybe A13 chip or something like that. But because it's not deemed Pro, that iPad, maybe because it's a RAM limitation or something like that, that iPad will not be able to run Final Cut, Logic, and Xcode, and that will become the selling point, because a lot of people, I remember when I pitched the iPad Air 4, they were like, this isn't going to work because it's going to butcher the sales of the iPad Pro, because all you have is 120Hz, dual camera, LiDAR, stereo speakers, that's not enough, because it'll look the same. My point is that software will be an exclusive. They'll be like, nah, you need the iPad Pro hardware, so that's going to be their upcharge. That's going to be their selling point. Do you disagree, Nick?
Yeah, I think I do. Pro movement is all about bringing professional apps downstream, down market. Used to be back in the day, in the 80s or 90s, before digital stuff, if you wanted to record a mix, you had to rent studio time and, you know, get huge production. Then that moved to an expensive iMac or a desktop Mac that could handle the power of multiple tracks. Same with video editing. And as we've gotten further and further along, now you can do pretty much anything professionally you need to do on a $1,000 MacBook Air. Like, you know, might not be fun experience, but you can do it. And same with the iPad. At this point, you know, this podcast is edited on an iPad. It has been for years. You can do some pretty professional stuff on iPad. Well, Randy, you balance the audio and Logic, but you send it to me on an iPad, and I do all the work in the iPad. But anyway,
I could do it on iPad. I just choose not to because efficiency.
So I think
iPad Pro would still be working it down, though.
Yeah, iPad Pro would be working it down, argument. But I think iPad Pro is already there's the reason why it's going to work. This distilling Pro down into the most simplest form is for those people who maybe can't afford a full iPad Pro with the Magic Keyboard suite, which, if we're honest, you know, 12.9-inch iPad Pro plus the Magic Keyboard, you're easily sitting at $1,300, which, if you're budget conscious...
If you do what you did.
Well, it doesn't matter if you do what I did. If you want this Pro setup that Apple's probably going to be pitching with the Magic Keyboard on the 12-inch thing, even if you get 64 gigs or 128 or whatever the base is, or you get refurbished or whatever, it doesn't matter. You're still spending about $1,000 plus at the very minimum to get into this Pro game. You can get very good MacBooks used or refurbished for under $1,000 that already come in built in with these specs. So I would imagine that, sure, they'll make the A12 the cutoff, but they'll let the iPad Air 3rd Gen have the Pro features. Maybe they have a distinction where you need to plug in like a mouse or trackpad separately. If they make that a distinguishing factor, you know, you need to have the built-in trackpad for it to work. But there's no way they're going to keep it exclusive to the 3rd and 4th gen iPad Pros. Because if we're going to keep that logic, well, then you guys with your 3rd gen iPad Pros can go suck it, because Apple should only make it available for the 4th gen iPad Pro. Because logic requires the second camera and the LiDAR sensor. That's what logic requires.
For audio editing.
Yes.
Yeah. If we consider that Final Cut, Xcode, and Logic right now are all running on Macs with 8 gigs of RAM, and they're running with machines that are used to having way more processing or way more GPU options or RAM options, and now they're being dumbed down to the ARM architecture, they could lose some features. I don't know if those lower-end iPads are going to cut it. They're not going to be able to do the top tier requirements Apple has, you know, like, we can't just make a standalone monitor. It has to have extreme dynamic range, and it's got to be $6,000. That's a bargain. You should be grateful it's that cheap. And I think they could do something similar with the Pro apps, thinking, no, in order for Xcode to work properly, that requires A12X or better, or that requires something of this amount of RAM or this amount of architecture, and we tried to dumb it down or whatever, but it didn't work, or it's not up to our standards. So that's why you have to get a new one, or you have to have a Pro in order for this to work. I could see them pitching it as something like that. What do you think, Randy?
Absolutely not. Everything Nick said is wrong.
Oh my gosh!
Even if all the technical specs are accurate, and you're saying, well, there's nothing different between iPad Air 3 and this, just pure Apple, like old school, evil Apple. No.
$700 wheels.
We're Apple. Not going to support it because we chose to. But I don't care. Just like that. will upgrade to the new keyboard. You will get this. Randy. You will do that. Or you will sit in Brokeville. And all the other people in the higher walled garden are going to judge the peasant walled garden, looking down at you saying, look at them with their broke pods. Is that a cable I see? That's what they're going to do. So, I mean, I could see them just again, moving the market forward. Courage. They're gonna just go ahead and put it on iPad Pro that require the Magic Keyboard, because mouse support and cursor support and command key support might be a thing, even if you compare it to an external third-party keyboard or mouse or trackpad or what have you. That might just be strictly because we believe the efficiency of what we've done in-house is more productive, more proficient, more proactive, just being able to use our hardware to use this.
You
because
three you big spent P words all at once, Randy.
Spell it, or you can't use it in a sentence, and I can spell all three. So I just see them. No, it doesn't have the hardware peripherals required, in my opinion, to make it work. Because imagine how they let you use the Apple Pencil, and when you double tap, it's also now a mapped new button for that app that you're using, that if you want to use it to scroll the timeline on Final Cut, and by doing that it turns to the cut tool and you can just cut it very with precision. I mean, I would even use that in Logic where I need to get fine-tuned fading or modulating the certain frequencies. Using the pencil would be pretty spot on, like accurate, and double tapping can let me change the control or the command feature of that. And you can only do it with that pencil. You can't do it with the first gen, and I wouldn't want to then at that point. So I can see the case being made that, like, only with these new iPad Pros, because of the accessories, will you be able to use full features. What these pro applications you bought a pro iPad, guess what? You get pro applications because you were an early adopter. Now we can finally put it to the test. So whereas iPad Air 3, a keyboard, okay, and it's not even the best keyboard. It's that small, wonky, mushy.
I see it as just a marketing ploy. Yeah. I think differentiation between the lineup of, like, hey, this is why you should get a pro is because you can run these apps. Oh, can I run those apps on the iPad Air? No. Why not? Because we didn't make them for that.
It's disgusting.
Well, okay, here's a compromise for you guys.
I could see it be as a marketing. All right.
What if the iPad Pro gets these apps for free, but you have to pay $50 per app for the iPad Air or some large amount of money?
I don't see that happening.
I don't see them doing that. I did hear that they're rumored to give the apps for free if you already own them. If you already own Final Cut, Logic, or Xcode, you get them for free on the iPad.
Take that, people who pirate it.
Yeah. I think Nick has a good point about them wanting to bring down the pro applications and the productivity, but I think their argument is not going to be finding a way to make Final Cut more accessible and cheaper. It's going to be to make the iPad Pro more fair because it is in the price range of MacBook Air and MacBook Pro. So they're saying, well, if you're spending MacBook prices, you should get MacBook software. It's not about making it cheaper than the MacBook. It's just making it an alternative that's, like, it's no longer going to be a MacBook selling point.
Yeah.
Well, get a Mac because then you get Final Cut. Now it'll be like, no, even if you go with the iPad, you can still get that. But their prices are, yes, very equal. So I think, just for the sake of iPad Pro, it's now in laptop territory, but it's a two-in-one. MacBook is not, and it has all this great hardware. Bringing that software, bringing those services and the advantages the MacBook has over to something that has better hardware, I think in itself makes it a better selling point.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
Every word you just said was wrong. Happy May the 4th, by the way.
I was just doing the Kylo Ren scream once he disappeared. I'll hold the Apple Pencil, though. With a little hilt on it. Speaking of bringing things to the masses, did you guys catch my Apple Watch SE video?
Oh, yes. That was basically one of the three videos I've watched this week from YouTube because I've been busy.
That is literally the only video I didn't watch.
Oh.
That came out yesterday, right? Yeah, I was...
I don't know.
Day before.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
No, it was Thursday.
Nothing came out yesterday. But what do you think of the idea? For those who don't know, basically my pitch is... Series 3 is getting too old. It's 3 years old this year. If they do nothing with it and they keep selling it after September, that means it'll be 4 years old in 2021. It's not on the 64-bit architecture. The CPU and GPU are going to get too slow to support watchOS, which means that if they're selling the Series 3 in 2021, it's only going to get like a year of support. So they need to basically do what they did with the SE, which is essentially don't change the design, because if they just brought back the Series 4 or they made the Series 5 cheaper, then no one would buy the Series 6 because I think the Series 6 is going to look identical. So to not butcher sales, they will keep the Series 3 design, give it like the S5 chip so that it's faster. It's got the 64-bit architecture, maybe better power efficiency. They'll bring in like fall detection so they can say, hey, we're bringing health features to more people at an accessible price point. But it'll look the same. That way people feel inclined to get the Series 6 because it looks noticeably more up to date. What do you think, Nick?
Okay. So first off, Apple loves the $199 starting price. I don't know how Twitter figured out I'm an Apple sheep. It has nothing to do with any of my tweets that I've ever sent. But every single ad I get is an Apple ad, which is great because I don't need the other ads going around. I get that. Do Apple Watch. Do workouts starting at $199. Starting at $199. But all the pictures are of a Series 5. And I'm just sitting there like, that's deceptive marketing in a slight way, you know, saying, here's this really nice-looking product with the price point of the not-nice-looking product, which is fine. That's how marketing works, basically. But
the 38-millimeter Series 3 starts at $199.
Exactly. The watch you don't want starts at $199.
Baby watch. It's like microscopic screen.
That thing is so small.
Baby watch. Do, 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 baby watch. Do, 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 baby watch. Baby watch.
I was just
watch.
Checking how much it is for the larger size.
I think it's $249. Go ahead, Nick. But anyway, they love that $199 price point. So whatever they do, they are not going to compromise on that price point. Like everything else about this Apple Watch SE will be about the price. It will be all about maintaining that $199, maybe even dropping it down to $179 or something. Like they are lasered in on that price. I think definitely keeping the Series 3 design, and they did it with the Series 1, right? The Series 1,
that's what I'm comparing this
was
to.
The first SE like Apple Watch, because they had,
you take the old one, update the internals, but the outside
exactly
stays.
And the only differences between the Series 1 and the Series 2 was waterproofing and the GPS chip, right?
The design was slightly different, but
I think there's one extra hole next to the speaker, but like that was
the Series 2 is more rounded.
No, the Series 2 was, I think they're this,
it's slightly wider.
Oh, it was?
I've compared the two many times.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I'll show you.
All right.
And I wonder why Drew is so lonely with no friends.
Well, you are my friend.
What does that say about us?
Say about
Wait, what? Yeah.
What is that? Well, I've compared the two watches. Like, wow, how you don't have the women throwing themselves at you is beyond me.
Well,
I don't know.
So you think SE makes sense then?
I think it makes a ton of sense, because every time, like my sister's in the market for a new her first Apple Watch at some point this year, I've been really debating what watch she should get, and she's not in a rush or anything for it, but I really want her to have fall detection. Like, that's half the reason why she wants a new watch, is for the fall detection, which right now means Series 4, which
you can't
really find them new anymore, and she's not super pumped about it, getting a used watch from some stranger, which I get. And so it's basically Series 5, which starts out at what, almost $400 for the 44-millimeter, even if you get it without the LTE, and we kind of want the LTE on it. So I think
you could go refurbished.
Exactly. I know, but still, we're talking
oh my god, Drew.
We're talking in the $400, not in the $200 of price.
How many times has Drew said refurbished just in this episode?
We should get a little counter. Bing, bing, bing.
Yeah.
Refurbished.
I'm going to reverse this in for that.
So an SE would be perfect for her?
I think so. She's not super concerned about the design or anything. I personally want her to have LTE, just because it's that peace of mind when she's, you know, horseback riding on a trail or whatever without her phone. When she gets thrown from her horse, which happens, the watch will automatically detect that.
You said it so confidently, like, you know, when she gets completely thrown.
She's at the barn right now, and I guarantee you her horse is throwing her off right now. So that is,
oh my god,
man, this is a very, this person needs fall detection more than anyone ever heard.
Forget Nana from across the street, your sister needs this.
Exactly,
she needs it now, actually.
So anyway, yeah, I think she's a prime target for the SE and the Apple Watch SE, and I'm super excited.
We gotta get you guys out of the middle of nowhere. Your guys' lives are at risk.
What do you think about the branding, though? Do you think SE would make the most amount of sense?
I don't think so. They called it the Series 1 instead of the SE back in the day.
But they can't do that now.
They could call it, like, instead of a series, call it like Apple Watch 1 or Apple Watch 3.
That's more confusing to me. I think SE is what they've done twice now. That's why I think.
Okay. Well,
and twice it was refreshing the old design with the updated internals. That's why chose it, because they can't go back a number
with it. Only they did the Series 1 once, and they didn't follow that.
But there was no Series 1 beforehand.
This is true.
So now they can't. It was implied.
It was implied.
It was sport, and then that's why the whole terminology of Series 0 came around, because there's a difference between Series 1 and the first Apple Watch. So we call it the Series 0, even though it was technically referred to as like the sport or just Apple Watch with stainless steel or something. So what do you think, Randy? Does this make sense?
It makes sense because you know, Tim Cook is a master of moving inventory, and it's one way to clear the chassis out of their warehouses. Mm-hmm.
Apple doesn't have warehouses. That's the funny thing. Their pipeline's so efficient.
I'm being metaphorical. Oh my god.
They have sweatshops.
They have sweatshops.
My room is a
like
my room is a
is
sweatshop
better.
Right now.
Oh my goodness! Oh my gosh. I see what you did there. Ouch. I see it. I think giving iPhone SE naming convention to an Apple Watch would be. I get why you're saying that. I just think it's just confusing for consumers. Just calling it hey, we've updated Series 3 design with modern tech, the same way we've updated iPad. It's just iPad, the same way they do MacBook. Yeah, maybe when you're going through the text, but like, oh, this gen, the 2020 gen or whatever, but just maybe for naming convention. I think they might have put themselves in an accidental gridlock of like, oh, we have to do these series convention, which I like, but it can cause an issue for something like that if they were to pursue that. Or they just cut it out completely, which I don't think they should. Make it more affordable, more modern internal specs to the Series 3 chassis, and let it have all the things that it needs just for 2020 needs, and let the titanium, stainless, and all that stuff for Series 4 and up design live on and continue, and eventually they'll phase it out, and it's just one way for them to move inventory on that design for a little bit longer while they try to phase it out quicker. If they do it, I wouldn't call it a money grab, honestly, because it's already cheap. So I don't see it as like, oh, we're doing it so we can squeeze every penny out of it. I think it's more of a like, let's try to get clear this out. We don't know how much they have sitting around. I could see it more as an operational thing that they're trying to just move it than anything else. In that sense, it makes sense. Naming convention, just so it doesn't really screw people up too much about like, oh, wait, should I get... I think just call it Series 3, and therefore it kind of makes you buying third-party...
The second
like,
generation
Best Buy or something.
2020 Apple Watch
no,
Series 3.
Series 3. Series 3. Hey, here's Series 3. We've updated the specs. For when you say Series 3, it's the same thing as like, hey, here's MacBook Pro 13-inch, we've updated the specs. It's I would see them calling
so
it like
why,
that.
Why didn't they call this the iPhone 8 2020?
I honestly should have. They probably should have.
Oh, no. Come on, SE is easier. It's
SE's
two letters instead of...
You're a tech
iPhone
person
8,
has to talk about
well,
all the
actually,
devices, Drew. So.
I would probably say they don't call it 8 just because 8 does not look good when you have 10s, 11s, pros, and all that. It just doesn't look good. Where
I think Apple will pretend this is a new watch, even though it isn't really. It'll just
I agree.
They'll just like the SE when that came out, they marketed it like it was this new wow, look at this new iPhone that came out. And
yeah, but thing. We were young it, and dumb and stupid stage. Back then. Now we're more woke.
Back in April, yeah. Now the SE will come out and they'll be like, we introduced a new Apple, two new Apple Watch designs this year, and everyone's like, isn't that the same as the last week? No. It's a new one. This is
that.
Different.
Don't look at that. Don't look at it. Look
do
at this.
Do you really think... Is there a chance that they will do nothing with the Series 3?
Yes.
No. Well, no.
That seems like a horrible idea
What
to
I mean
me.
By there's a chance of... What I mean by yes is that it just exists. They're not marketing it. It's not anything. It's just there. Buy. Maybe phase it out. Maybe discontinue altogether.
Came out in 2017.
I know.
And it's they're still selling it the same way it was in 2017.
Yeah.
Just cheaper. Or here's a plot twist. What if they don't do this and the Series 6 is just such a minor upgrade that it starts at $200 now?
Hey, ECGs for everyone.
Yay. What if they brought the Series 4 back instead?
I think that would kill the 6.
It probably would, you're right.
I think from a consumer standpoint, that would be amazing. If the Series 4 just came out and it started at $200,
how lucky were we that we got amazing. Series 4? Look at us. Exclusivity.
But also, Apple has never discontinued a product and then revived it, from what I can remember. If they stop selling something, they stop selling something.
That's interesting. I'm thinking about that.
Unless you can think of a time they did that. But I'm pretty sure if the Ford is gone, it's not coming back.
I feel like it will come back stronger than ever. And maybe
the five is basically the four.
Okay, so I think for me, I'm too hung up on the naming convention that I want to let me try it like this. The design for the model Model 3, I almost said Series 3.
different product.
Yeah, it's slightly just one's just a little bit more cheaper. So getting the Series 3 will be that design. Should stick around as the cheapest entry. So if they just want a watch for everybody, here you go. There you go. There's that. The Series 4 design, call it whatever it is. There should be a Series 3 design and a Series 4 design. I don't care what you call them. Series 6, Series 5, or Series 7, Series 6. I don't really care. Series 6, Series SE, then makes sense.
Ooh, what about Series 7 and Series 6?
No.
So the 6 would be objectively worse than the 5?
Yes, by every measure.
Okay. That's kind of like how the iPhone 11 is slightly worse than the iPhone 10 in a few ways.
Yeah.
So that's it's not impossible.
All of the ways.
Yeah. I saw some people say call it the 3S, which I found even more confusing because a lot of us abbreviate Series 3 as S3, so then we would be calling it the Apple Watch S3S edition. The Slytherin.
I don't know. You speak Slytherin?
I think 2020 is going to be the year we lose our Apple Watch consistency with naming. It's been a great time running. You know, we were consistent with one,
that makes
two,
me worried.
Three,
what are we
going to
call
five?
The next show?
Ooh.
I mean, the next
Ooh.
Series of the
no,
podcast.
No, I got a new one for you. What if we...
The Tech Podcast SE.
We only talk for 30 minutes,
slightly,
guys, but the ads are half.
Yeah, we're
going to
be slightly worse in every way, and we won't even record it anymore. Let me throw another one at you. Their push...
Slightly worse in every way.
It's slightly worse anyway, and we won't even record
it. That could be our tagline.
Hey, welcome back to the new series, Slightly Worse in Every Way. let me throw one more at you, and I'm going to go the opposite direction now. What if their sole purpose is to now bring all the lineup to meet the health standards that they're trying to push because it's supposed to be a health fitness tracker thing first, and therefore kill off Series 3, Series 4, Series, and they unify and they clean up the lineup even more.
Kill it if you must. Kill it if you must.
Yeah. But do all that so that way we can – how cheap can we make the most important parts of the watch? How can we get into the most hands by making it the most affordable? Series 5 becomes the new low-end, and that doesn't go anywhere. The Series 5 is the new design for this – particular one that we have here. Granted, that means it comes with all the weirdness of always on display in a compass for whatever reason. There you go. but the health features that come with it, if they're trying to put more sleep tracking, you know, we talked about it last week, they have all these other things that they want to put in there. How can we get that to as much people as possible by making it as affordable as possible? And it starts by getting rid of the Series 3 line altogether. And now with this new design, with the new hardware that's in there, we can work off of that. And they simplify it on not the lower end first and then bring everything down to that, but on the higher end and try to get everything up to that and work its way down, I feel would be their more ambitious long-term goal because people don't upgrade every year with their watch. and you could still push health, like, because we think that Series 4 has the same capabilities as Series 5 right now, or Series 6 would be with certain tracking.
Oh, yeah. They're near identical internally. Mm-hmm.
So. There you go. So then let's get that even cheaper, because now Series 4 will be 2 years old. Use that and call it whatever you want to call it, the same way we call it Series 5, Series 5. Use whatever you want to call that, and still make that the cheapest model 2 years later, still giving you the same health features that you need. And they focus so heavily on health with it that this is our way to get it into the most hands. And now you provide an incentive to upgrade from Series 3 or even Series 4.
You should say, on the most wrists.
Boom! Worse in every way.
So basically you're saying make the Series 5 $200?
This is how they revive Series 4.
Make without the Series 4
without but without calling it Series 4 or whatever you want. I don't care what they call it. I'm trying to take away the naming convention because it's screwing me up. But this is how you bring back Series 4 in a way that's affordable. And it has all the necessary features that you could get in there, and it kind of cleans up the lineup.
No compass,
and that's fine. But now you get sleep tracking or blood, whatever. Yeah. Or hey, guess what? You have crippling depression, anxiety. You're about to have a panic attack. Oh my god! How do you know? Oh my god!
So if they did what you just said, there would be no point in Android Wear making any type of watch ever. They would just all die.
iPhones. Kill it if you must. But I agree.
Well, so, wait a minute, though. If the Series 4 becomes the refresh model, then I would totally consider getting an iPhone. Apple Watch SE, that's a Series 4 remake, instead of a Series 6 in steel or a Series 4 in steel, simply because of the price.
I don't think the Series 4 needs the SE treatment, though, because it's not slow. Like, the S5 chip is not faster.
The Series 4 has an S5 chip? I thought the Series 4 had an S4 chip.
It does. S4 and S5 are barely different. Okay. That's my point. Cool. They don't have any performance changes.
One has a compass. I forgot. Sorry, big difference there.
One has a compass. One helps with the always-on display thing. That's about it. It doesn't change like the boot up times or the synchronization time. Like the 64-bit architecture on here is noticeably better than the S3 chip. Like that's a very big difference side by side with boot up times and syncing with the iPhone and stuff. But the S5 like is basically a Series 4 right now. There's very little differences in the first place. So that's why I don't see them reviving the 4, because the 4 is not really gone. They just slightly tinkered it and called it the 5. So that's why...
It's never really gone.
I think... nothing's ever really gone. I think SE watch makes the most sense, but if Apple really wanted to corner their dominance on the market, which they kind of already have at this point, but if they wanted to... What are you, piss on the grave of Android watches, then they could lower the price of the Series 5 or the Series 6 to even lower than it is now, and then
just because they felt like flexing, it's like, you know what, just remember who daddy is.
Who daddy is. Yeah. Yeah. But I mean the health marketing would definitely help them, just being like, we want to bring more safety and health features to more people, so there you have it. Yeah. We are better for the world. You're welcome. Screw you, Samsung.
We
you
hurt are people the
with your
world.
Exploding phones. Whereas we check your heart rate. So,
and we are out of time.
Transition right
there.
That's
a perfect
segue.
Oh
my gosh.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. There's probably going to be some products that launch this week. I don't know what they're going to be, but that's why we try to hopscotch over them in this episode. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.